We are lesson six in Joshua.
Do I put it there? Is that where I usually keep it? Okay.
We're just talking about Shiloh, and I want to know what the meaning of Shiloh is.
Okay, good. Anything else?
Yeah. I know Shiloh's a place, but there's a verse that says, until Shiloh comes.
Which is also in, that's in chapter 49 of Genesis.
Place of rest.
Place of rest. It's also a place where the covenant, where the Ark of the Covenant goes. It stays there for many years.
Okay. I thought the casting lot thing was interesting, and I wondered if how they did that, if it was the same way as we think.
Okay, that's good.
Nope,
different. We had those three guys from each tribe going out there, so yeah. They were determining it, and they brought it back to Joshua, who then designated. But we'll get there. Good. Anything else?
I thought it was interesting that three of the refuge cities are not in Canaan. They're on the east side of the Jordan.
In fact, if we go back to some of the basic verses that tell us why, we'll do that.
Yeah. Yeah, three for 2.5 tribes and three for 8.5 tribes. Who's
going to
be
sinning?
Well, it's the size of the tribes.
Or the sinning thing.
Yeah.
Well, if what I was thinking about that one is I'm just looking at it, trying to take it in a very visual thing. Uh-huh. On the other side of the 8.5 tribes is water. So they don't have any enemies coming out of the water. Uh-huh. The other guys have enemies coming out from all over the place. So the chance of murdering somebody would be kind of easy. I mean, they're in a war. Pardon?
Unintentional.
Right. 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 Well, I was thinking, how many people have I murdered unintentionally in my life? I like the one. I looked it up where it first started. Where it first started, the picture is if you take your axe and you go to hit it and the handle flies off and goes hit somebody. Yeah. And I'm like, ew. That's quite a way to die. Oh, sure it has, but the moral of that story is don't ever stand behind somebody who is...
Yeah, but sometimes you could be...
Off. Or you could fling it, too.
And when they're in their strike, it can...
They can travel away.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, fall in the tree.
Yes.
You know?
Some people think they're away from the tree and they don't realize how tall it is and the tip hits them.
Well, you've heard of widowmakers, that's a limb that breaks off.
Yes, it comes down. Yep.
Throwing stones. They were stone throwers, and if your aim wasn't good, you could hit the wrong guy.
When I was first learning to do bows and arrows, you don't go for a thing like this. You're a kid. You go, wow, how can I? And then I thought, that went about 250 feet. I wonder what's behind those trees. I better not do that.
Well, I was down in my lower part of the property one time, and across the line fence, somebody was skeet shooting, and the pellets were landing all around us.
My granddad had a large acreage, and he was sitting in on his porch, and there a bullet went right by his head.
Oh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you look up the Deuteronomy, the passages? Deuteronomy 32. Open it up and look for it, and we'll talk about it.
Oh, I started to do it.
It's Deuteronomy 32. Answers your questions. I don't remember what your question is anymore. Grace, did you have a question last week, too?
I did, but I don't remember what it
was. Okay, I was going to write it down, didn't I? I do remember hers, but she's going to look it up, and if not, we'll just... We'll look at it when we get to it. You asked why...
I kind of remember what I asked.
You asked why the eastern part of the Jordan wasn't considered
Israel.
And it's in chapter 32, how that starts. And we'll talk about it. And actually, next week in our lesson, it's going to even say it in a better way than I liked there. But we'll see. Anyway, shall we get started? I'm avoiding
my question was, were the presents that were given to the daughter of whoever, were they going to cause problems later on? I never found the answer.
Well, then I'm not going to worry about it.
I'm sure in years to come we will come across it.
Possibly. Well, we'll either that or we won't come across it, and then when we're all done, we'll go, we never came across that. I did look up the whole thing on Shiloh and the debate on it, but
we'll talk about it in a minute. Okay, verse 1. Well, let me do it on the board.
Verse 1. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting, and the land was subdued before them. Okay.
Verse 1, chapter 8.
That's our first verse.
You were said go to Deuteronomy 32.
Oh, no, I told her to go to Deuteronomy 32, not anybody else. Sorry, we'll look at it in a little bit. It was an answer to her question. She didn't find her question answered, so I told her where to find it. Or where to start finding it. Actually, next week we'll even say it within our text. But okay, so then is what kind of a word? What kind of question does that answer? It's a time word. Okay, so we're carrying through from the last chapters. So the whole congregation of the sons of Israel. Who is that? That's answering the who.
Israel.
Tell me what it says, though. What does it say? What does it call them?
Sons of Israel.
Don't know.
Congregation.
Throw that away.
Don't let me ever see that pen again. That's an evil pen. Somebody took it on the board and went, so it's all splayed. Ooh, this is pink, though. No, that's red. Okay. So our who is the whole congregation.
The whole congregation.
And I'm just going to put a blue star that tells you that's Israel. We all know that that's who we're studying, right? Okay. Why is that important? Because what does the next part say? Assembled themselves where? So we're at Shiloh. Okay, here's another one for you. People keep putting these things back in. Oh, you know what? No, where's the trash can that's usually there?
I think Rusty borrowed it.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I was just going to say, I could just throw them away.
There's a big one out there. So whoever's
in charge of buying the pens, they'll need to find them.
I'm going to have to get more pens. There's thousands of pens in here. They're my old ones.
I need to go to Staples. I'll pick up a bunch.
But you have to get rid of these old ones.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm handing them to her. Oh, that's really great. Why did you guys tell me you can't see anything?
That's right. I have that there.
She can't see anything. So there, where are they? They're an H.
Yes.
Sometimes later on they drop the H, so I wasn't sure. Okay, so they assembled themselves in Shiloh and what?
Set up a tent of meeting.
What is that? What is the tent of meeting?
Tabernacle.
Very important. That is the tabernacle. And what's in the tabernacle?
The Ark of the Covenant.
And what do we know about the Ark?
It's
where the presence of God is. So, the whole congregation is there. They're at Shiloh. They have the tabernacle, and therefore the presence of God. And then what?
The land was subdued before them.
What does that mean?
It was conquered.
It was rest.
Wasn't really totally conquered. but it was quiet.
It was in a peace mode.
Right. Remember, we keep having these times where we have wars, and then it's rest, and then wars, and then... Well, this is one of those because... let's talk about this.
So, why is it important to observe that the whole congregation of Israel is there and they are assembled?
Something important is going to come up.
Something important. Something they all need to know. Something that is the picture of the whole congregation. It'd be like us having a congregational meeting and half the people not being there.
So that you could almost not vote.
I had to call people to get people to come so we could vote.
Sorry.
No. There's just times for everything. But this is telling us here that we have a different kind of life than they did, right? I mean, nobody can call anybody on the telephone at the last minute and say, would you come to... You know, they're either there or they're not there. And it's sort of a picture of them all getting the point. But they're getting the point. They all have to be there to get the point. They're both getting taught and they're being sent out and all sorts of things. So that's important, but why Shiloh? And we hit part of it. What are some of the things that you were thinking about Shiloh? You're asking about Shiloh. Somebody brought up Genesis 49. Tell me what Genesis 49 does say. And I want us to pay attention because... The translations are different, and if you have a different translation than the one that's read, please read your translation. I want all the translations on the board.
49, what verse?
8 through 10. And then it goes on, I think a confusing verse for us, because it goes on to 11 and 12, but...
We start back with where Judah starts,
right.
Which is in verse 8.
Right.
Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who dares rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah.
What is a scepter?
King.
Okay, go ahead.
The ruler's staff.
Which is what? Why does it say in the staff? It's an identification.
Yeah.
We're identifying here.
Yeah.
Did you have something to say?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
I was hanging it.
Yeah. Were you hooking it? Were you hooking? Are you a shepherd with a staff? Or are you a...
Yeah. It's what they used to walk in the...
That's an idea. So if you guys get out of whack with me.
It went along.
Can you reach the wall?
I can get you. Just know, I have my tools of the trade here.
You can whack it.
Okay.
So the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. He ties his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine, and his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are dull from wine, and his teeth white from milk.
Now, up to verse 11, I'm okay. Verse 12 totally messes with my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't resolved that one, so don't even bother asking any questions.
Okay, mine here.
Excuse me. This is where I want the extra verses read, is verse 10.
Verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him.
Okay, that's good. Anyone else?
I have King James.
King James is actually the one that screwed everybody's mind up on this. So go ahead and read it. No, I want it read. Because remember, there's what they do at different times, and it's still a translation.
I can't read that.
Yes, you can.
The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come,
and unto him shall be gathering of the people be.
Okay. Anyone else? Somebody want to read Revelation 5, 5, and this is where the confusion tied in with that verse, with King James. Because here we're talking about Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches. He lies down as a lion who dares to rouse him up. Now, when we read this, the way it's translated in multiple places, it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. We got that pretty universal. It's this next part that is translated multiple ways. Mine says, until Shiloh comes, it's or, until he comes to Shiloh, or until he comes to whom it belongs. That changes the idea. So anybody look up what Shiloh is? We talked about it a little bit. What is Shiloh? What do we have in Shiloh?
We have the tabernacle.
We have the tabernacle. Okay, and what does the tabernacle stand for? I mean, in reality, but what does it also stand for? This is the day they decide to work.
No, they've been working every day.
I know.
Well, it stands for God's with the people in the midst of the people.
And with God being with the people, what does that stand for?
God is on their side.
God is there. He's the power. Yeah. He's the authority. Yeah. I think, and this is my personal opinion, with everything I read, nobody agrees with one another. But I think that when it says, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples, it's talking about the position of rulership. The rulership of Judah. Judah is the lion's whelp. Somebody have Revelation 5, 5?
Yeah. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.
But when he appears, he becomes as a lamb.
Absolutely. So, but the position is both a position of servant, but it's also the position of the ruler.
Yeah.
The absolute authority. And so, whatever we do with Shiloh here, the reality of it is the scepter and the ruler's staff is our position of authority that he's talking about. So, Judah, your brother shall praise you. Verse 9, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you've gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares to rouse him. Because what happens? The scepter shall not depart from him. The scepter is his authority, his rulership, his kingdom. The king comes out of Judah. They're learning that right now, and we see that follow through with Christ later on. But I don't know that Shiloh is we always like to call Shiloh Jesus, and I can't get that. No matter how hard I try from this, I can see how some people could, but it's the translations. Because it says, until he comes to Shiloh, or until he comes to whom it belongs, who is coming? The Lion of Judah is coming.
Okay.
So, if anybody have any more questions on that, let me know, because I have a whole paper I did on it. Trying to figure it out.
Grabbed the wrong Bible today, but it says, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the people.
Right.
So that sounds like a ruler.
Which is what it is. I mean, no matter how you put it, whether you want to pick Shiloh, which I think is a place more than it's a person. The person is for sure Judah as a lion. Well, the Lion of Judah.
And Christ is the root of David, which is the Lion of Judah.
Right. I mean, it just goes all the way through. So what this is saying to us, it wasn't even in our questions. We were just trying to understand Shiloh. The whole congregation is meeting where? They're meeting at Shiloh. What does Shiloh stand for? It's the place where they're setting up the tent of meeting, and the land was subdued. So they're all together at that point, verse 1. Right?
Yeah.
Any questions? Now it said there remained the sons of Israel, seven tribes who had not divided their inheritance. Well, where did the other ones get divided? And that was in chapter 17, wasn't it? So we got that picture.
Yeah,
of
but
them.
We also have divided Judah and Simeon.
Well, that comes up in this. Well, already divided, yes. Judah is in 15:1.
Uh-huh.
I think it's interesting how they start with Judah. Why? Because that's where they are with this whole thing. They're in Judah.
And then we have Manasseh and Ephraim's already taken
which
care
are,
of.
And we go back and visit them again. Well, it's in 17.
Yeah.
Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben are dealt with in 17.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the sons of Joseph, half of it, in 16:1. So what tribes do we have to deal with yet? You just go through your list there.
Yeah.
Benjamin.
Asher, Nephilim, Dan.
Okay.
Simeon, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And then,
Yeah, we get the other guys when we start getting into cities of refuge. This is where our mind starts, like, fraying. Didn't you just talk about these guys? Yeah, you did. You talked about them in 15, 16, 17, 18, you know. Right now, what we're looking for is the land. And that's all we're looking at. So,
The land or the lamb?
L-A-N-D.
Land.
Land. Hopefully, I have green that'll work. Can't tell. So we're going to do Benjamin first. Now, it says, there remained among the sons of Israel seven tribes who had not divided their inheritance. What is an inheritance? We kind of looked at that last week. What is an inheritance? Because we're going to have words like inheritance, portion, lot. What is an inheritance?
It's what God has promised them.
So it's directly from God. Specifically.
It's what the father gives to the children.
And it's perpetuity. Right. It's forever. Because it's your inheritance. Okay, so with that knowledge, did any of you look up the verses, if you want to add anything to it, on Deuteronomy 12, 10 through 14 on the laws of the sanctuary, which is what, I don't know why it was there. I assume it's because we're setting up a tent of meeting. What are the laws of the sanctuary aimed at in Deuteronomy 12?
It's telling you, these are the statutes of judgment you shall carefully observe the land, in the land. The Lord, the God of the fathers, has given you to possess. As long as you live on the earth, you shall utterly destroy all the places. That's basically what he's sending them out to. He has them all together. He's sending them out, and they are to destroy in all the places where the nations whom you shall dispose serve their gods, on the high mountains, on the hills, under the every green tree. I looked that up, by the way. You shall tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, and burn their ashram with fire. You shall cut so on and so forth. But, verse 5, you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God will choose from your tribes to establish his name there for his dwelling. Now, when they go into these lands, what are they going to find?
They're going to find idols all over
the place. And what are they supposed to do with them?
Get rid of them.
Burn them.
You are supposed to smash them. One of the saddest verses we're going to find later on, and I put it somewhere. Ah, no. Is the reason they get torn down is because they put an ashram right in the temple. And we'll deal with that later. An ashram, by the way, is the female god, probably the mate of Baal in the Canaanite practices. She's a wooden carved image. And she's put in high places with fresh green trees. So that's the statement there about those on hills and under every green tree. It's a picture of their gods are under every green tree. And then, talking about you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, and so on and so forth. Then verse 8, you shall not do at all what we are doing here today. Every man doing what is right in his own eyes. This is before they cross over. This is preparing them for the promised land. He said, you're not going to do what you've done. For you have not as yet come to the resting place and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you.
When you cross the Jordan and live in the land which the Lord your God is giving to you to inherit, he gives you rest from all your enemies around you so that you live securely. Then it shall come about in that place in which the Lord your God will choose for his name to dwell, that you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and the contribution of your hand, and all of your choice votive offerings which you will bow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and your sons and your daughters, your male and female servants, the Levite who is within your gates, since he has no portion or inheritance with you. Be careful that you do not offer your burnt offerings on every cultic place you see. But in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. And at this time, where is that? That's in Shiloh. It's going to be two more places before it lands in Jerusalem with David. And David is the one who will buy that land, and the temple will be put there by Solomon. But until that, it's a tabernacle, which means it's not a building. It's moving. It's been set up, but it's mobile. It's a tent, which is why we say the tent of meeting. They don't meet in the tent. The tabernacle's in the tent. They meet in front of the tent. I have one more question on this part. We saw the term rest, which we're going to deal with later. But verse 9 and verse 10 talked about the resting place and rest. What is it talking about there?
In Deuteronomy.
In Deuteronomy 12, 9 and 10, which goes on to the rest of the... to 11. He says, "For you have not as yet come to the resting place and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. When you cross the Jordan and live in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, he gives you rest." Mm-hmm. So where is the resting place?
Our resting place is in heaven.
That you're jumping. We got to start with the first resting place. You want to go there, girl. Bring back to earth. This resting place. Sit with your verbiage here. Where are they going? Has not yet come to the resting place and the inheritance that your Lord has got is giving you when you cross the Jordan and live in the land. Where is the resting place?
The land.
The land of Canaan. The first, well, actually the very first resting place is the seventh day of creation. But the first resting place for Israel is in the land of Canaan. And this is called the Canaan Rest. Okay? Yeah.
So are those on the east side never in the resting place?
Well, we're not to chapter 32 yet. See, in Deuteronomy, they're not going to deal with that until chapter 32. So here, this is how we know he's talking about the west side of the Jordan. But when you get to chapter 32, he changes it for their wishes.
Yes.
But it's never considered the full land. Even though they have the cities of refuge, even though the Levites are there, we'll get it next week in verse 7.
So God did not want, it was not his will that they
It's not his perfect that. Will, no.
No. He allowed them to.
He allowed them to do that. It wasn't evil or immoral, but it was something that was not the best.
I can
tell you the next chapter.
Okay. You can tell me all these.
It's going to be in your homework.
Okay.
It'll be part of it because it'll say it. I was listening to it this morning. I went, oh. But we'll look at 32 also. So the resting place he's talking about where they will find rest is in the land. And so it's called the Canaan Rest. Okay. Because we're going to look at several rests throughout our little lifetime. One of them is the Sabbath rest. That's the seventh day. This is the Canaan rest. She jumped the gun with the heavenly rest, which she's wishing will be here today. But we're not ready to let you go. So you're going to have to wait a while.
She's gone with the rest of us on the trumpet.
There you go.
A little bit. We're all gone or none of us is going.
There you go. We are a congregation, girl.
She was doing that yesterday with your study. She kept jumping ahead.
She just gets giggly.
I know.
Yeah, I guess you get to a certain age and it's kind
yeah,
of
I know.
Out for them.
Come on, they're pitching on me.
Verse 3, chapter 18, Joshua. By the way, if you want to look up more about Tabernacle being in Shiloh, look up 1 Samuel, but that's the whole book, so I, our future.
But one of the points there is that they could not choose where they were to worship or to meet God.
No,
they had to meet God where he
where his ark is. His ark is the place of worship. His tabernacle is the place of worship.
And every time they sinned, they chose to worship. Well, we do the same thing. People say, well, I can go walking and worship God.
Right.
I don't have to come to church.
Well, then that's throwing out the whole thing in Hebrews 10 where it says, do not forsake the assembly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another story. And here, you get the gravity of the congregation, meeting at the tent of meeting. It is the congregation, not some here, some if they feel like coming. It's the congregation. Because God deals with us all as a people. This is to Israel. And there was one temple or one tabernacle in Israel. But in the church, there's how many? There's one. But there's wherever Christians are is where the temple is. Because we have the Shekinah glory indwelt. Okay. So verse 3. So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, how long? So here's the question.
We have Benjamin. Yeah, I'll just put how long on the top.
How long?
How long will you put off? Will you not put off taking possession? I'm just going to put it. Put off. Take. It's taking. That's a pretty blue. It's kind of a purple blue. I like periwinkle blue. Periwinkle blues are sort of purple blues.
I think you need to get out of my way or you're going to trip me.
Okay.
So how long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord your God, Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? So that's the question that he is laying out. And where is he?
He's in Shiloh. Where is he? He's in front of the tabernacle. Who's there?
Congregation.
The whole congregation.
Well, and it's kind of a rhetorical question because he's going to answer them.
So, yes.
Like, you're not going to put this off anymore.
Now, this is how we get out of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, verse 4. Provide for yourself 3 men from each tribe.
I think I need to get... Well, we've already had... Well, in this chapter... So the Lamb subdued, and he got 3 men from each tribe. For what purpose?
To survey it.
How? Give me the process.
Walk.
Is this 3 men from all 12 tribes?
No. All 3 from each 12 tribes.
36 men.
Yep. So why do you think 3 from each tribe?
Well,
you have some big tribes, you have some little tribes, you have some half tribes. Why?
That whole 3 witnesses thing.
Pardon?
The whole 3 witnesses thing would have to be 3 people to verify stuff.
That would be good.
All the inheritances are individual tribes. I mean, certain parts were left to certain people. That is.
Do you remember asking the question several weeks ago, why did Manasseh get so much land when Ephraim didn't? So what would one of the questions be if you were Ephraim?
Why did they get more land?
Yeah. Right. Why did they get so much when we got so little? Plus, it's kind of a reinforcing what the people mess up the first time when he sent out 10 and they came back and they are, you know. So when you look at
3 men from each tribe, but there's only 7 tribes.
No, the whole congregation.
It's the whole congregation, huh?
Yeah.
Because they're divided. Even though they're dividing it into 7 portions, it would still have to be the whole congregation because who's there?
All right.
The whole congregation. And that would be... by the time we're done, we all know, like if you were from Judah and you were from Ephraim, you all know that it's been taken care of truthfully and weighed out well by all of them. It's not that we'll send out, you're bigger, so we're going to send out 10 from you, and you're a little guy, so we're sending out one from you. That just doesn't, it's not representative. It's all, it's sort of like our, the difference between the House of Representatives and the Senate. In the Senate, you have two from every state, which carry the same amount of weight. But in the assemblies, we have however many people you have in that various assembly places. It's kind of like that.
And it answers that in five, when after it comes back and they return all of that information to Joshua. Then the next statement is, they, the whole congregation...
Well, they shall divide it. They shall divide it in seven portions, but it is Joshua who makes those decisions.
Right,
that's final.
But it's also including all of the whole congregation, is it not?
Well, I think it's just that.
Well, let's read it. Let's keep reading it. They shall divide into seven portions. Judah shall stay in its territory in the south. Why? Because they already did that. And I like that. The house of Joseph, those are the two guys, and they're calling it the house of Joseph, shall stay in their territory on the north. The north of what? Look at your map. It's just the north of Judah, because it's not really the most northern tribes. It's just above Judah. You shall describe the land in seven divisions and bring the descriptions here to me, and I will cast lots for you here. Before the Lord. So who is making the final decision?
Joshua.
Joshua and the Lord.
The Lord.
Yeah. So
but
he
isn't
is,
it's just the three men from each tribe, those
right.
36 that are going to divide it into seven portions.
No, they're bringing the knowledge. They're going out. What are they doing? That's why I said, look at verse 4.
They're walking and surveying.
They're sending them out. They are rising and walking through the land, and they're writing the description of it according to their inheritance, and someplace else it says, and they're writing it in the book.
Yeah. Number 5, verse 5 says, they shall divide it into seven portions. Who's they?
Well, keep going.
The surveyors. I would think it would be the surveyors. Yeah.
Well, it is to a point.
I'm not saying they're deciding who gets what. I'm just saying they're dividing it into seven portions.
Based on, what do you think it would be based on?
On what they found when they
went. And what are they looking for? Think of Caleb and Judah here for a minute. What would it be based on? What? How much can support? How much land can support? I mean, the difference between a pasture land versus a city.
Hill
countries.
And
we got a giggle out of Manasseh where Joshua goes back and says, go back and take, you're whining about these guys down in the valley, then go to the mountains and take, well, you know. You got your choice. Either you go to the valleys and fight the war, or you go to the mountains and cut down the trees. Mm-hmm. So it's what it can sustain.
Right.
What can be sustainable. But it's Joshua who makes that decision and who goes where. You're right. For the Levite, now, tell me what lots means. I will cast lots. Anybody look that up?
No, but I'd like to know. You need to look up.
There were so many.
Is it the same as portions?
That I've read where
no.
It was like a vote. And
I think
in some places.
That's what
we're
talking
about.
I think
it's
a
Urim.
Anybody have a
Urim? And
yeah, back in the old days, they called something Urim and
Durim or something.
Yeah. It's the same thing that when they cast lots for Jesus' clothes.
Well, the word's the same, but does it mean the same? Does anybody have an online and go to Blue Letter Bible?
Yeah.
Okay, look up lots on that one.
Portion of decision process.
Now, portions is a different word, and it's not the same word.
One for the Lord. Voting may be cast.
I think that's talking about Jesus, probably.
Yeah, no, that's Proverbs.
So oh, okay.
Proverbs.
Oh, you're looking up where it is.
Yeah.
Okay. But we don't know that that's the same word. It's just the same translated
okay.
word. That's kind of the struggle we have. Go ahead. What does Blue Letter Bible say about
it? No, where do I look it up?
Okay, you're in the verses, right?
Okay.
Where are you?
Well, I haven't gone to a verse yet.
Okay, go to, oh, you don't know where they are. All right.
Search.
Verse 6. Joshua
search.
18. So just do Joshua okay. 18, verse 6. And then hit. Okay, then hit the word. Oh, you're fine. You're in the New Testament.
Laptops in there.
Joshua 18.
Mm-hmm. And then verse 6.
So just see if you've got a system there, right? Look at it.
Hit okay. Lots in verse 6. Anywhere long. We'll pull the whole thing off. Okay, didn't. Commentaries. Do hit lot. Alright. Do it again. It's not doing anything.
If I do cast mm-hmm. lot, then it comes up in
dictionary.
It comes up in what it is.
It comes up different than mine does.
Shiloh.
Okay, well, we're not looking for Shiloh, and we're not looking for that.
We don't do that.
Go ahead.
You know how to run this better than
no, I actually, you got it set up.
It's not the man.
That's how it was. Amen.
Did you get it, Connie? Well, it shows it back in Leviticus in different places in Joshua.
Yeah. I'll just check this out with you because you're not getting the verses, so you're not getting
no,
the more studies.
Okay. Lots really isn't the point.
Hey.
It's kind of what you think it is. But hold on to you have it?
I have it.
Okay. Like, yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
Lots.
Oh, lots. A large
here.
Number of a great deal.
So it just means things assigned by casting lots. Lots, pebbles used for systematic making decisions. It's just what we think it is. I wanted to show us the difference because, and hold on to this for a minute. So the next word is portions, and it's different. You shall describe the land in seven divisions and bring the description here. I will cast lots for you here before the Lord. For, and what is for? Those of you who are taking structuring, what does the word for do? What is it? Question? Is it answering?
Because.
Answer why or because.
Okay, this says a large number or amount, a great deal.
Oh, that's the
lot.
You've got a dictionary.
Lots of stuff.
That's a dictionary meaning.
A great deal.
Yeah, it's just a dictionary meaning. That's okay. For the Levites have no portion among you. Okay, what is portion there mean? That's 2506 for anybody who has
inheritance. Portion.
It means no territory as part, now listen to this because I think it's interesting, as part of a booty or a spoil. Metaphorically, I have to see it in my mind's eye, I can't look it on the page. Metaphorically, a person doing their part. So, if Israel gets its portions or its lot, Israel does, but Levites don't, why, on what basis is Israel getting its portion or its lots? As part of what?
What they conquered.
What they've conquered. And when he's sending them into a land, even though it hasn't been all the conquered, they're not going to get that land unless they conquer it, are they? So it's part of their booty of conquering the land. But the Levites don't get that.
No.
Because, but where did they get it from? Where did they get their portion and their inheritance from?
God.
From the Lord, who is their inheritance, but where are they going to get? I mean, I told
within
you last week, they have to live.
Taken
yeah.
care of.
From each of the tribes. Each of the tribes gives up part of their land. It doesn't say tithe or anything like that, but it's probably something like that. Giving up part of their land to take care of the Levites. What is the difference between the Levites? Do you know the difference? I'll get there in a minute. All right, so their inheritance, Gad and Reuben and the half tribe of Manasseh also have received their inheritance eastward beyond the Jordan, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. I want us to turn, now I want us to turn to Deuteronomy 32. Just so we see, because some of us studied that and some of us didn't.
See, one of the things that messed me up.
32 what?
I'm not there yet. I have to look. Go ahead.
Moving into the, you know, when they would say, go get your promised land, I saw that individually from each of the tribes, their promised land. So I didn't think that necessarily when he was saying, go over into the promised land, he was speaking to those who hadn't set up their portion yet. So that's why I didn't discount the
east side. And honestly, as a culture, we think of things very individually. That's why I want us to keep looking at the whole congregation.
I'm still not convinced, but I'm going to read all your stuff.
Well, and it makes sense if you think about it, too, in the fact that even though Manasseh, Gad, Reuben had received stuff on the others, they were still commanded to go with the whole group. And so everything's still always done as a group. Yeah.
And there was only one place of worship.
Yeah.
They could be all the way over there, but they didn't get... Where did I...
They all have to do... all of it for each other.
That I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But Moses is the one who promised.
No. Don't go so far. Don't go too far. Because
okay.
You're gonna.
I know. I'm trying really.
I know, but see, that's what you're thinking, and it's because of the verse that says what Moses said.
Verse 8.
Is it? Read it.
When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance.
This is very specific about them complaining to God about wanting land on the other side. And I have it written somewhere, and I don't know where I put it. It is in 32, because I looked it up a couple of times. Maybe not. Deuteronomy is actually probably...
Well, in verse 5, they said they acted corruptly
towards him. No, it's not that. They ask. They go to him and ask. Maybe it's...
In 31:29,
just a second. Well, we're going to keep going, and I will get us to it. And then, of course, I have a Bible that isn't turning pages. Okay, I will keep looking. Wait, maybe it's going to from there. The Lord said, this is land which I swore to give it to your descendants. Okay, that's not it. Okay, I'll look. We'll keep looking. Sorry. Why didn't I put it there? In that place. Just one more second. Let me see if it can jump out at me. Okay, not yet. I'll find it. Before we leave, Lord willing. Okay, so... which Moses' servant gave them. And that's the verse that's confusing. Okay, but he gave it to them because they asked for it. And we'll find it. Hopefully before the class is done, because I did write it down somewhere in this page, and I only have about 25 pages. So,
okay.
The men arose and went, and Joshua commanded those who were to describe the land, saying, go walk through the land and describe it and return to me, and then I will cast lots for you here before the Lord. So, like you ladies said, and I think you're correct, they had it was plotted out, but they didn't know who was going to get what. Outside of who already had their land, Jude already had his land.
The house of Joseph's boys. Yeah.
So the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities in seven divisions in a book. And they came to Joshua to the camp at Shiloh. So here they are. They're still waiting, aren't they? And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the sons of Israel according to their divisions. So the first territory went to who?
Ben.
Little Benji.
Benny.
Anything you want to add about Benji?
He got Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why he stayed with Judah later.
Well, pretty much so. They got sort of mushed together, didn't they? In fact, what was the problem with Jerusalem? Who had Jerusalem? Do you remember? The Jebusites did, and they couldn't overcome them, could they? So Benjamin's not going to be able to do that. Anything else you wanted to add there? Okay, who is the next one?
Simeon.
And what do we learn about Simeon?
Simeon was scattered within Judah.
So he was kind of a... Okay.
And that's what his father said he would happen.
So it happened, didn't it? So this is a fulfillment. In fact, it finishes verse 9. The inheritance of the sons of Simeon was taken from the portion of the sons of Judah, for the share of the sons of Judah was too large for them. So the sons of Simeon received... Now, how would they have known? When would they have come to the conclusion that the portion was too large for Judah? Remember, when we start here, Judah already has their land, right? So how did they figure out there was too much land?
When they walked through it.
And they portioned it out. So they decided Judah had too much. And part of it went to Benjamin, and part of that went to Simeon. And Simeon is sort of landlocked inside of them. The sons of Simeon received an inheritance in the midst of Judah's inheritance. And then we have who?
Zebulun.
Okay. Anything interesting about him? And again, it keeps calling that the lot and the inheritance. Notice how it keeps using those terms. The third lot came for the sons of Zebulun, and the territory of their inheritance. And then it goes, was as far as, and you have the borders of, and all the names of all the cities. Anything? Pretty much that's the way it's laid out. He has valleys. He has villages. He has 12 cities with their villages. I don't know how a city has a village, but maybe that's like the suburbs of the city.
You know, 12 cities included Bethlehem?
Did
it? No, it doesn't say in there any, you know, how they determine whether it's too much or too little. You know, like, is it, okay, you've got this many people, so you're allowed this many square feet or anything. That's when you said they were walking through and determining that. How would they still determine whether it was too much?
For the peoples? Well, like they said, they gave Judah first. Then they realized they gave him too much. So they shared it with the other two.
Yeah.
So
did Joshua have anything to do with that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Well, they went through and said, this is what we think. This is how much land there is. And Judah has an awful lot of land.
Right.
He makes the final decision before God. They give him the lots, and he goes before God and says who gets what. But I think those guys came back, and he gave them the privilege of doing that. Three out of every one of the tribes, that even three of the tribe of Judah, they probably said, there's too much land there. We can't possibly control it all. We can't get everybody out of there who's there, so we need help.
And they selected the three guys, the people themselves, right?
They don't go any further detail than what we've got right here.
Yeah. Well, I just wonder if I missed things.
No, you didn't. If you did, we all did. Okay, so who's next? Yeah, they'd have to be leaders. I mean, we just see that every time they do these kinds of things. So then we have Issachar. And anything particular interesting about Issachar?
You know, they didn't say very much. It says...
Pretty much, they don't. According to their families, with their cities, and their villages. We keep getting that over and over and over again. So what's the next one?
Asher.
Okay.
I think he got the most cities. He got 22 cities.
And we don't even know what size they are. They could be big, they could be little. That's verse 24 through verse 31. And once again, tribe of sons of Asher, according to their families, these cities and their villages. And they got 22 cities, right, with their villages. And then, we could be small cities. We don't know. The sixth lot fell to
Naphtali.
Anything about Naphtali?
Well, the one thing that I circled here was they got fortified cities.
Ah.
The first time that's been mentioned.
So what is it a positive thing or a negative thing?
Sounds positive.
Yeah.
Unless they're trying to break down the fortified and get inside and win the war. So if they're in a war, the fortified would be hard to deal with, wouldn't it? So it doesn't tell us. It just says, just letting us know. That's good. Very good. And then we have the seventh one, who's Dan. And
I've run out of space, but I'll put him here anyway, to the side.
Well, it said sons of Dan, so...
Well, that's what they all are. They're all the sons
Dan
of...
Dan is that they went and fought and got more land.
Yeah,
he went beyond his lot.
So he...
Oops. Okay, on Asher, I've got a question.
Sure. Not that I have an answer, but go ahead.
Verse 34.
No, that's Naphtali.
Well, Naphtali, yes.
Okay.
34.
All right.
Okay. On the south, Zebulun on the south, and touched Asher on the west, and to Judah.
At the Jordan.
Judah is clear down here.
What I thought was really weird is, that's later on our... Let me see.
Okay, Asher's clear up here.
Right.
And here's Naphtali.
Right.
And then it says it touches Judah.
Yeah.
Judah's clear down here. I don't understand that.
Well, it's the same thing with Zebulun getting Bethlehem. Bethlehem's way down from where Zebulun is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there might be another
Bethlehem. I don't think this is a good map, and I'll tell you why. Look at Manasseh. They've got it across from each other, and it's not across from each other. So I'm not sure that map is as accurate as it needs to be. So I would go online or find another map.
You've got all this other stuff, Zebulun and Issachar, Manasseh, Ephraim, in between.
I know.
And it...
Originally that land didn't
belong to Judah. That got me really confused.
Yeah, would me too.
Yeah.
I also noticed, like I said, on this particular map, except for that Judah comes up, so maybe, that's pretty far to come up that far.
Yeah.
We'll use that as a question. So email me the question, we'll see if together we can figure that one out.
The King's Highway runs through there, so they have with long, narrow strips that then includes food.
It's 6 inches wide.
It's the borders. What they're talking about, the borders.
I know.
And they've got Asher and Naphtali, you know, next to each other, yes. But then they talk about Judah, which isn't anywhere near
them. At the Jordan.
Them.
Towards the east. Yep.
Jordan towards the east, and they're nowhere near the Jordan.
Well, and remember, we're seeing a map
that's
finished later.
But Asher isn't.
But I'm telling you, this particular map is not a very good map anyway, so I'll have to look at another. I say that because they've got Manasseh right across from itself.
Yeah, and the Bible...
And it's not anywhere else that I find it.
The one you gave us?
I have a different map.
The purple. Yeah, the one is here.
That is Manasseh, and then Manasseh.
It's the city
right across from each other.
And it's not. It's
no.
This is where this one is Asher,
Naphtali, and then Judah's clear down here.
Yeah.
It's there's not no the Bible way. That's wrong. It's the map that's wrong.
Because the one that she sent us via email, it says Bible History Online. Well, they've got one Manasseh way up here and one down
but
here.
That's your Bible everywhere.
Yeah.
This is Manasseh on your
right.
Yes,
yeah.
I've got
that.
And in here.
That's why I don't know why that
right across me.
That other map is not a very good map. So I'm not sure why.
Well, except for this one.
I mean,
this one's different.
Yeah, in Bethlehem, I mean, if it isn't that close or that distance to Jerusalem down in Judah where it shows on the map. So why is Zebulun different?
Maybe we're going to see things shift. I don't know. Because trying to jive it to the map on this one didn't work. So we'll keep that in mind and we'll be thinking about that. And then we want to go to, it says it finishes. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons. And they all say the tribe of the sons of, by the way, of Dan. Because it isn't Dan. Dan is long dead. These are his children. Just like when we're going to look at the Levites. What do we learn about the Levites in your little chart? You have a chart.
They're descendants of Levites, but there's the Kohathites and there's
the three sons. We have the three sons, and then we have the added. Okay, so verse 49. When they finished apportioning the land for inheritance by its borders, the sons of Israel gave an inheritance in their midst to Joshua. The son of, now is nice, the son of Nun. In accordance with the command of the Lord, they gave him the city for which he asked, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. So he built the city and settled in it. These are the inheritance which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the household of the tribes of the sons of Israel distributed by lot in Shiloh before the Lord. So it starts and finishes the same way. In Shiloh, before the Lord, at the doorway of the tent, so they finished dividing the land. Did you have something?
They understood, but we don't understand, but like Hebron. Hebron was given to Judah, it was given to Caleb, and it was given as a city of refuge, and it was given to the Levites.
Yeah.
So, it's all mixed up to us, but
and,
they
well,
do.
But it actually sorts itself out a little bit, because it says what Caleb has versus what the Levites have.
Yeah.
One has the pasture lands, and the other has the villages. So it's when we say, like, Hebron, or Hebron, whatever anybody says, it's an area. I mean, when you say Granite Falls, well, let's say Arlington. Where is Arlington? We think of Arlington way over there, but technically, a lot of you who live on the outskirts of Grand Falls are in Arlington.
Yeah,
across
so,
the river.
Because
I create a house for Bill, and as soon as I get to his house, he's in Arlington.
Right.
And it's just...
My house is in Arlington.
So if it's really Arlington, why don't our kids go to that school? Because it really isn't, you know?
Yeah,
you're in Arlington. Okay, so, chapter 20. What is chapter 20 about? Okay, I lost the black one. Oh, here it is.
So the name. So we're going to call it this.
You're in the wrong.
You're
line.
In 19.
What did I do?
You put
the tribe.
The tribe of 18.
Ah, how humorous. Well, there you go. Where did we split that?
We went to Benjamin.
Okay.
Well, Benjamin's in 18.
Yeah.
Then we have the rest that are in 19.
Okay. Then so Benjamin's in 18. The rest are in 19. All right. Well, that's funny. All right. Okay. I need to make those little transitions stand out better. So in 20 we have this. How many cities of refuge?
Six.
Cities of refuge. At least it isn't refuse. Refuge. And what were the two important words that you were supposed to look at?
Manslayer and avenger.
What did you learn about those?
The manslayer is the person who...
Accidentally kill somebody,
you know, just he's murder
without malice.
Yeah, and the avenger of blood.
And we wouldn't even call it murder in this country until it has malice. So it's a little harder for an
Okay.
So it's a little harder for an
Okay,
go ahead.
Accidentally kill somebody.
Yeah. Well, he killed somebody. No, the manslayer killed somebody, but we're going to have to determine. Someone's going to have to determine whether it was premeditated or not. Yeah. On what basis do they decide that?
But they use the word unintentional.
That's only unintentional when he gets to stay there. But until there is a trial, they don't know whether he's going to stay there or not. Does it say that in our chapters?
Yeah, verse 4, he shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and state his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, and they shall take him into the city and to them and give him a place so that he may dwell among them. And it's until they hear his case, they decide his case.
So he has a trial. And who's going to do the trial?
The elders.
The elders. In fact, we're going to have set up by that time the Levites, too, who the Levites are going to be the ones who... What does it say?
He shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment. And then he's safe there until the high priest dies if they deem him an unintentional manslayer.
And so then he does what?
Then he returns
to his own country. So he has a trial. It's determined that it was unintentional.
Why does he have to wait
for the guy to die?
High priest?
Yeah, that was my thought.
Well, what does the high priest do?
Evidently, he doesn't do anything until he dies.
Unintentional.
Boy, we need to take you to the Day of Atonement, girl.
The high priest oversees the
sacrifice.
Well, not only that, but the temple, the atonement. Well, not only that, but when he goes into the ark.
That guy. Go ahead and say what you said. Because what do the Levites do when they're sent into all the different parts of the country?
They judge.
Right. That's part of what they judge. And who is the overseer of all of them is going to be the tribe of Aaron, which is what the high priest comes out of. So the ones who are the judges at this point, we're going to run into different judges. But the ones who are the judges come out of the Levites. And by the way, I'm going to keep saying Levitical priesthood, but please whack me over the head when I do, because I finally learned the difference between them this week. And the New Testament starts calling them Levitical priests, so it's... stick to the same word. All right. So there, the manslayer kills someone... And the trial determines whether it's intentional, unintentional. What is the basis?
It also says premeditated.
Premeditated. What is what? Yeah. Okay, what would make it premeditated, and how could they ever find that out? If you killed me, what is the first thing people are going to ask everybody who knows you?
Did you hate
witnesses? Have they shown? If there's no physical witnesses, they're going to say, what was the relationship that we had? And if somebody says, well, they were always warring, it's going to be pretty hard to set you free, even if you didn't do it. Mm-hmm. So,
we're at peace with everybody.
Yeah, there you go. We are in land, right? We're supposed to be at peace in the land, at rest, right?
And right. It does say three people.
Yeah, witnesses.
Three witnesses.
That would be your witnesses, right? Okay, so you have that process in the city of refuge. Tell me about the Avenger of Blood.
Well, he's mad. He's got to go after the one that did it, whether he did it intentionally or not.
And he has the right to, by the law. He has the right to take the life of the murderer.
But he can't pursue him into the city of refuge.
Why?
It's a safety. It's a safety place until he's had a trial. But if he's found innocent, he gets to stay in the city of refuge, and the Avenger of Blood can't do anything about it.
Forever.
But if he leaves and wanders off, he gets after money.
He's on his own. Okay, so you two tell me what you're all excited about so everybody gets to hear it.
Go ahead, Charlene. Take it away.
Mine isn't so much about the Avenger. Mine is the relationship of the manslayer to the high priest.
Yes.
The manslayer's life depends upon the life of the high priest. Mm-hmm. As long as the high priest is living, he is taken care of. And when the high priest dies, he is free. And to me, the comparison, who is our high priest?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus. And our life is hid in his life. And when he died, we were proclaimed free from our sin.
Okay, now my side of it is with the adventure of being like, is the enemy of our soul. We all know who that is. And as long as we are in the high priest, in our city of refuge, the Lord Jesus, underneath the blood, he can't do nothing about it.
That's right.
And when he dies, it's done.
And we
it is finished. Don't forget that it is finished.
Yeah. Yes.
Sounds like they were shouting that day.
Yeah, I heard her from my house. I heard her.
You should have heard him when I walked in the door.
She was so bubbly hours later. Just about threw me off the... In case you guys don't know, I don't study till Monday. My Monday, Tuesday are my study days. So she studied on Friday and went nuts.
She was out there dancing in the street naked like David did.
She was coming mighty close. She had this long captain on.
So I was.
She was looking a little bit like a priestess.
If you go to those other scriptures, Deuteronomy and Numbers and all of that, it'll really, it just blessed me so
well,
much.
Well, go to them.
Tell
us about them.
Yeah. Well, Deuteronomy 19:11 and Numbers 35:9-34, they're in the lesson.
That's why I'm asking so many questions, because I didn't get to do my lesson.
You didn't do your lesson?
I was helping, part of the time, helping my sister, who all of a sudden sold her house and I moved in quickly.
Wow, really?
The thing that really blessed me was the Avenger of Blood can't do anything about the person as long as he stays in the city of refuge. And as if he comes out from underneath that, underneath that protection, you know, and we can do the same thing. If we come out from underneath the protection of Christ, if we step outside, he was there, he was waiting, he could kill him even if it was right outside the door. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought, man, I'm going to stay hidden in Christ.
And then in the Jubilee year, I mean, when the high priest dies, everything is made new. A new start for everybody.
Which we're going to get to.
So the Avenger of Blood, who is that person? Is it somebody that saw the incident happen? Is it a relative?
No, it's the relative.
Oh, a relative.
And a designated relative.
Okay. Where did you get that?
In those numbers in Deuteronomy.
Yeah, go to the other scriptures.
Which ones?
Okay. I was right. Started 32. No,
okay.
Only it's Numbers 32, not Deuteronomy 32. I took the wrong chapter.
Okay. Not for this, for what she gave, just a little bit. It says, now, this is talking about why they were in the east of the Jordan. Now, the sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, had an exceedingly large number of livestock. So when they saw the land of Jazer, and the land of Gilead, it was indeed a place suitable for livestock. The sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben came and spoke to Moses and to Eleazar the priest and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, and he gives the name of all these cities, the land which the Lord conquered before the congregation of Israel is the land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. They said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to you, to your servants as a possession. Do not take us across the Jordan. So that's their request. And you're going to see when we go our next verses that God still doesn't consider that. In fact, when they start being rebellious and disobedient, he tells them that you need to get back to the land.
Okay, but where am I going to see this new part that you're talking about?
Tomorrow, next week's lesson.
Oh, okay.
And it's chapter 32 of Numbers.
Yeah, and this is 32 numbers. And Moses said to the sons of Gad and to the sons of Reuben, shall your brothers go to war? So he's setting up the parameters of giving them okay on this. Shall your brothers go to war while you yourselves sit here? Now why are you discouraging the sons of Israel from crossing over to the land which the Lord of God has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. So he's talking about when the ten went over. And when they went up to the Valley of Eshkol, I'm going to read that whole thing. But that's where
that's
the
all of Numbers
32.
Yes, that's the process of why they're there. Okay?
And he does send Israel, they send the Levites there, and he sends cities of refuge, so he is incorporating it, but it's not the promised land. Not what he originally promised. Okay, so Joshua 21. Yes. 48 cities of the Levites. Then the heads of the households of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel. They spoke to them at Shiloh. So there they are. They're still at Shiloh. Why are they in Shiloh? Why is Joshua and the Levites in Shiloh?
Because
the ark's there. In the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to live in. So who's asking for the cities?
Levi.
But they're the only ones so far not taken care of.
Yeah.
17, 18 took care of all the tribes, and 19. So we have these in 19, some in 17 and 18. And actually, in Numbers 32, we have the half-tribe of Manasseh, Reuben, and Gad, where their land's going to be. So, but the Levites haven't been taken care of. And that's why I called this taking care of business, because he's kind of like finishing off the last stuff, organizational stuff. For those of you who were at the meeting on Sunday, one of the things that came up is in the body of Christ, we need to really understand there needs to be visionaries and there needs to be organizers. One is called the gift of faith. The other is called administration. You can't have just administration and you can't just have the visionaries. Because if you have just visionaries, what do you have?
Dreamers.
Dreamers. And there's no way to get to that plan. So you have to have the administrators who take the vision and build the plan. What we're seeing here is the plan being built. They were supposed to have the land. They knew that. It was promised by God. But at one point, that's just a vision. And they're coming out of Egypt with a promised land because Abraham, think about Abraham all the way back, studied before they came out. I mean, this was 460 years before they crossed the river. He promised them the land. And Abraham was even in the land. But then they left the land. So there's the vision of the land. He walked into the land. Lot walked on one side. He walked on the other side. But it hasn't been taken yet. You've got to have a plan. And this is the plan. It's laying out. We've been seeing the plan in Joshua. How do they take the land? First, they have to start getting a lot of people out because they can't even get to the land. But even when they've done that, they still have to go back and divide the land. And there's still people in the land that aren't done. So this lesson was about possessing the land. And he's taken everybody, given them a place to go, but the Levites. They're the last guys. So what did we learn about the 48 cities of the Levites? They're being given out from the same place the others were, up in Shiloh, in front of the congregation. The Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to live in with their pasture lands for our cattle. Now, why isn't this them getting a lot?
Because their lot is God.
Because their inheritance is God. And they have no portion, because what are portions?
Their inheritance.
Their portions are what they earned by going in.
The booty.
Right. And in the land of that the Israelites, the land that the Levites get is not based on booty. It's not based on the lot the way we think of. God is their inheritance. So God is the one who has to portion out where they're going to be and where they're going to be taken care of. Yeah.
So booty could also be stated as spoils of war.
Yeah. It is. In fact, even though they have land, they're still not really going to get that land unless they go in there and take out the enemy and subdue the land, right?
Mm-hmm.
So until they can't put the farm on someone else's farm.
And they don't do that all the way.
No, they don't. They never do. In fact, they leave into the land. What do they leave in the land? People And when you leave people, what else do you leave? There's that Asherim again. The idols. They are to go in and destroy the idols of the land, of the people of the land. Because if they don't, they're going to intermingle, intermarry. Your boy is going to go across the field and go, whoa, look at that girl. I want that girl. Well, that girl is the daughter of a priest. And she's going to bring back into your family her religion. And the same for the other way around. So, and your father wants you to get along with the neighbors because they have really nice land. And, you know, you have this daughter. So make a deal and sell the daughter to the landowner. Well, the landowner is of a false belief system. He's in a cult. So what is going to happen to that girl and her children?
Pagans.
They're going to be pagans. And you start seeing this happen every... So he is saying... We saw this before they came across. Moses said, right now you guys are being rebellious, but you're not going to be rebellious when you go into the land. You're going to do what is right, because if you don't, you're going to lose the land. Do they lose the land?
Yes.
Yep, they do. We're seeing that process unfolding.
I have a question.
Like I said, possibly someone has an answer. We don't know.
Okay, in verse 4, verse 3, so the sons of Israel gave the Levites from their inheritance these cities with pasture lands, according to the command of the Lord. Then the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites and the sons of Aaron the priest.
Okay, let's do that up here. I want to do it up here so it isn't so confusing. Who are the four that get the divisions? The Kohathites.
Gershonites.
And the
Levi. Oh, it's a pretty color, but it's not working either.
That's where you get the sons of Aaron?
Yeah, we'll get Aaron. He's under the Kohathites. So we have the three brothers of who?
Levi. Or sons of Levi.
So they're the sons of Levi. Okay. No, that's Levi. He's the sons of Levi. Today you don't meet Levi's with the last name, you meet Levi's. Okay, Gershonites. I knew many Levi's growing up. Gershonites. And M.
Merari.
You know, several translations of the Bible don't even give the, like, M-E-R-I-A-I. They call them M-E-R-A-I-I-T-E-S. So, all right, so we have that. M-E-R-A-I-T-E-S.
Over here they list those three, but they don't mark.
Yeah, mine says Mary.
Yeah, but not yet.
Mary.
I just want us to understand how it all works. Okay. So these are the sons of Levi, all of them. The lot came out for the families of the Kohathites. I keep putting an O in there. Kohathites. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, who were of the Levites, received 13 cities. So what is that telling us about Aaron?
He's the son of
Kohathites. Kohathite, who's the son of the Levites. So we're going to put Aaron here. He's not A-A-R-O-N. He's not one of the three sons of Levi. He's an extra dude.
Okay,
I
wonder why he's special. Because he was a priest later on.
Well, let's think about Aaron and Moses. Mm-hmm. Go all the way back to when Moses was called out, was set aside as a leader. But what kind of a leader? Was he a priest?
No.
Was he a judge?
Yeah.
Might have been. Was he a king? No. Was he a prophet? He is actually called a prophet. So we have a unique situation with Aaron and Moses. Why? I don't know. If you can answer why God picked Abraham out of a godless, cultic nation, then we can answer that question. Wasn't that good? we don't know why God does things.
Were
we
you
just
there
know He
when
does.
He did it?
Yeah. No, ma'am. I'm on the floor in ashes. But then I have to get up for the floor. Can I just stand up and pretend I'm on the floor? Okay, so we have the three sons, and Aaron is part of the Kohathites.
And this is my question.
Okay.
Aaron, the priest, who were of the Levites, received 13 cities by lot. So they were cast by lots also?
Yep.
Okay.
What was the casting going to do?
It was going to give them a cities from the tribe of Judah, Simeonites, and the tribe of Benjamin.
Right, and where is that?
Right around
the center. You got Judah hanging around that whole area where the Jerusalem and the Bethlehem and it's where we follow, even though we are not always in Shiloh, it's where we follow the tabernacle. It's in that piece of land. They have that land. The Aaron. Why would that make sense with Aaron? Because what is going to come out of Aaron's line?
High priests.
Because these guys are called the priests. What are these guys called? They're not priests.
They were Levites.
Go ahead.
Oh.
And what was their job? What was their inheritance?
God was their inheritance.
But also, so were the priests. So all of them, their inheritance was God and the Aaronic priests. Because what was their job?
To serve in the tabernacle.
To serve the priests.
Yeah.
In the tabernacle. But it's to serve the priests, because you're going to read enough as we go through the rest of our Old Testament to start. So to understand, when we talk about priests, we're talking about Aaron and his sons. When we talk about Levites, who we like to call priests, they ain't priests. They're Levites. We call them the Levitical priesthood, and they're not the Levitical priesthood. They're the Levitical priesthood. Just Aaron.
So the whole entire Kohathites, they're the priests. Right, and the other two.
Actually, no.
Okay,
ignore. They are, and they are. But in this line, Aaron is.
Gotcha.
Like he has his own special party. I'm so glad, because it takes a lot of work to figure this all out.
Now, don't you just want me to ask this question?
No, Bonnie.
No, I do. Go ahead. We have 15 minutes, Bonnie. I'm going to take it all up with you.
Okay. You just said under the Kohathites, Aaron, you said high priest at some point? I thought you said Aaron.
Out of the Aaronic priesthood comes the high priest. All priests are from the line of Aaron. All priests are from the line of Aaron.
So there's no priests from the Levites?
Well, other than Aaron.
I wrote down somewhere that it was describing what the Levites were, and so I copied it down. It said priests, judges, and teachers.
I know. Sort of like our, but how can that be Judah when it's all the way up there?
They did judge.
Well, and when you start to get into the New Testament, when you have the high priests, they don't follow the line of Aaron anymore at all. The ones who set up the high priests were Romans. So all through the history, we're going to watch things shift.
They become political,
and they got a new high priest every year. So when you, it can be very confusing when you read the Gospels during the time of Christ being taken to the cross. They have two different high priests. Well, one was a high priest the year before, the other was the father-in-law. They kind of kept going back and forth between who was the high priest from year to year, and you have this, you have that, and you get confused. It's because historically there's only supposed to be one high priest, as we saw when we looked at the cities of refuge. One high priest, when he dies, the city empties out. But historically, it changed. God did not change it. So God set it up And at this point, that's where we're going to sit until he changes it, that the priests are from the line of Aaron. And what do priests do? They're in the temple.
So when you hear the word Levi, you don't necessarily think priesthood.
No. The Aaronic priesthood are Levites,
but
the Levites are not the Aaronic priesthood.
That's really clear as mud.
Well, that's what you're reading here. We're just trying to discern it. So when we talk about priests, okay, let's go to the New Testament. I told you several weeks ago, you are priests. So what does that tell you?
We're in the line of Christ because we are adopted.
We are, but if you take the picture of the Aaronic priests, what did they do? So let's keep...
They were between God and the people.
God and the people. And where did they meet God?
In the temple.
In the temple.
And
ladies, what do you carry with you every day of your life?
We got the ark.
Of the tent, we have the Shekinah glory. When the Holy Spirit came, that was your last verses. We can look at those. You want to look at your last verses? And I'm going to challenge those of you who are coming to the class on rest. Would you read Hebrews 4 with rest in mind? Because that will be the foundation of how we translate everything.
But you mean the Ephesians ones?
Yeah, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, and 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. What did you learn in 1 Peter that relates to where we stand now as the transition from the Israelite system, from the Levitical priesthood, from the priesthood system? Where do we stand? According to Ephesians, which doesn't use the word priest at all, but it's a transitional statement. What does it teach us about where we're at today? Ephesians 1:13-14. You want me to read it and then
you'll
tell
them? In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit.
Okay, right there. What does that tell me I have?
The Holy Spirit.
What does the Holy Spirit do?
He seals you.
Mm-hmm. He seals you. Can you break the seal? You cannot break that seal. Now, when you look at this, where was the Holy Spirit?
In the tabernacle.
He's in the tabernacle. In the ark. Okay, so now that which was in the ark and that which was in the tabernacle is where?
In dwelling us.
And what did the priests do? They ministered at the tabernacle, at the ark. You have the ark, ladies. So who are the priests?
We are.
To what? We're not priests to each other.
No.
Because all of the world was to look at Israel, which had the ark, the tabernacle, and now the ark and the tabernacle have gone out into the world. And I say that for us to remember every day of our life, our job is to be that vessel that the Holy Spirit can work through in the world that we're part of. We're not going to change this world until we change and get that vision. Right? Okay, so what else? Who is given as a pledge of what? With a view to what? And when is that going to happen?
Christ comes for us or we die.
So until then, what are we to be doing?
Serving him, reaching out.
Being that ark out into the world, containing the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:2-4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine, I think that's very interesting, his divine, I'm wondering, I should have looked it up, is that a multiple? Which one? Is that the knowledge of God or Jesus or both? I think it's probably both. Seeing that his divine power has done what?
Granted
How much thing?
Everything.
Everything pertaining to life and godliness. What the heck does that mean?
You have all we need.
For what?
Life and godliness. Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not looking real godly, and I can say, well, you know, God will forgive me.
Or I'm only human.
I'm only human. Does that verse allow me to get away with that?
No.
So he says, everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So, on what basis can I live? Says his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. How, on what basis can I live like that?
The power of the Holy Spirit,
but it's because he has accomplished it. Because look at 4. There we have verse 4 again. 4. And what is 4 answer?
Why?
Why can we do that whole thing in verse 1 and or 2 and 3? For by these, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Did God not offer that to Israel?
Yes.
Did they believe it? Does God not offer that to us?
Yes.
Do we believe it? And you can't answer yes to that. Your life answers yes to that. Because it's really easy to say yes. But it's how we live. Do I live as if this is the most real thing in all of my existence? And the more we live like this, the less this world has value for us. Anything anybody else wanted to talk about or question or whatever?
So the Levite cared for the sanctuary and took care of the priests.
And that's Exodus. Look at it in Exodus and Leviticus. Leviticus is the system of sacrifice, but Exodus is the setting up of the priests and what they do and why they do it and all that kind of thing. And then you get, and then it starts living out in Numbers and Deuteronomy.
So I remember reading, I can't remember where, in the Old Testament about a Levite that somebody decided to take him to be their priest, and they had that idol, and he got stolen, and that whole story. I don't know where it's from, but it was like that was a Levite, and that was the closest thing to a priest, so they like thought that might work.
You can see that whole thing with Balaam and everything else.
They were short on priests, and so they just grabbed him a Levite, and wondering.
Right, since I don't know what verses those are, I can't comment.
What was the story of the Levite stopping and being taken in by this man? And he said, would you be my priest?
Yeah, very good.
And the Levite agreed and stayed there.
Then he took off and later. Like, whoever had the best deal for him.
So what do we know about filthy lucre there?
Yeah, they became that.
That's one of the things that the Lord warns us about pastors in our generation. Those who covet filthy lucre, who is all based on money, you better not follow. And if you listen to somebody you really like listening to on the radio, TV, but he keeps asking you for money, guess what, honey? Mm-hmm. That ain't of the Lord.
That's why I don't
listen to
them.
So, we're pretty much done, and you have 2 whole minutes to... Okay, I'll look at it. But
it's a great job.
Even though I got 19 into 18, that is a really long chapter. I hope you wrote that in pencil.
I wrote it in green
pencil.
I think now I have to go home and redo this chapter because
or think it through.
Well,
that's the reality of why we come together, because until we come together, sometimes those just are a bunch of pieces flying. You know, I told you that one of the things with me was dyslexia, and it took me a long time to understand what was happening. Why can some people just look at a book and read it, and they don't write anything in the darn book?
If you ever look at my books, I look like I've outlined every single thing in the teaching book, because I have to. Because when I first read something, it's like a whole bunch of words go, and I can't sort them out. I don't know what they're doing. So I have to sit down and work my way through and sort it out, subject by subject, verse by verse, thing by thing.
I'm not going to say goodbye.